Okay, so for today's deep dive, we're tackling something that sounds, well, straight out of science fiction, honestly. The Scharnhorst effect. It's this actual, like a theoretical prediction that light could maybe travel faster than light speed in a vacuum, faster than c.
That's right. Neighbor
Yeah.
and T Sigson. The really interesting part is how it suggests this might happen, and critically, why it probably doesn't break physics as we know it.
Right, no causality violations, which is always the first thing you worry about with faster than light ideas.
Exactly. So to even start thinking about this, you have to throw out the old idea of a vacuum being just empty space, nothingness.
Because modern physics, especially QED, quantum electrodynamics, says that's completely wrong. The vacuum isn't empty at all.
Not even close. It's teeming with activity. Think of it like a boiling sea of virtual particles and antiparticles. They pop into existence from nothing and then annihilate each other almost instantly.
Driven by the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, right? Borrowing energy for a fleeting moment.
Precisely. It's this constant underlying quantum foam or flux. And we know this isn't just, a nice mathematical idea because of the Casimir effect.
Yeah, the Casimir effect. That's the one with the two metal plates really close together.
Exactly. Uncharged plates, very close. What happens is they actually restrict which virtual particles can pop into existence between them. Fewer modes are allowed in the gap compared to outside.
So the energy density inside is lower.
Lower than outside. And that difference creates a real measurable force pulling the plates together. It proves the vacuum has structure, that it reacts to boundaries. You can actually sort of engineer it.
Okay, so if we can change the vacuum state like that, how does that connect to making light go faster? What's the mechanism?
Well, think about how a photon travels through this normal quantum vacuum. QED tells us it's not just zipping along undisturbed.
It interacts with those virtual particles.
Constantly, it's momentarily absorbed, creating, say, a virtual electron-positron pair, which then annihilates back into a photon. This process repeats. So the photon we measure, its speed c, is actually the speed of this dressed photon, slightly slowed down by these interactions. It's like a subtle drag.
Okay, kind of vacuum resistance almost.
You could think of it that way, yeah. So now put that photon inside the Casimir cavity between the plates.
Well, we've already established there are fewer virtual particle modes available.
Right. Fewer modes means fewer possible interactions, less drag. The photon spends less time in that temporary massive state, like the electron-positron pair.
So it averages out faster.
Effectively, yes. Its overall speed, $5, through that modified vacuum between the plates, is predicted to be slightly higher than $2. The vacuum between the plates acts like a medium with a refractive index. That's actually less than one.
Then less than one. That means five or greater than the WAV. Wow. Okay, but that just screams paradox. Doesn't faster than light signaling lead to time travel loops and all sorts of causality nightmares?
That's the immediate red flag. Absolutely. But there are some pretty solid guardians, let's call them, that prevent this from breaking causality. First off, the effect is tiny.
How tiny are we talking?
Almost unimaginably small. For plates, say, a micrometer apart, the predicted speed increase is only about one part in 10 to higher grade. That's the one with 36 zeros after it.
Okay, so utterly impractical for sending any kind of message faster than light. You'd gain maybe 10, 41 seconds over a tiny gap, basically nothing.
Practically nothing, yes. But you might argue, okay, maybe future tech could amplify this. Well, there's a more fundamental problem, measurement.
Heisenberg again.
Heisenberg again. The uncertainty principle strikes back. To measure such an incredibly tiny time difference, you need extremely precise timing. That means you need very high frequency, high energy photons.
But does the Scharnhorst effect even work for high energy photons?
Ah, that's the catch. No, the whole theoretical basis for the speed up, the reduced interaction with virtual particles, it really only holds for soft, low energy photons.
Yeah.
If you try to measure the effect using the high energy photons you'd need for precision, you destroy the very conditions that create the effect in the first place.
You can't measure it without breaking it. Clever.
It's a fundamental limit.
Yeah.
And there's one more guardian, maybe the most definitive one.
Which is?
The setup itself. Time travel paradoxes typically rely on something called Lorentz invariance, the idea that the laws of physics look the same for all observers moving at constant velocities.
Okay.
But the Casimir plates, they are a fixed apparatus. They define a specific preferred reference frame. The presence of the plates inherently breaks the Lorentz symmetry that you'd need to construct a time travel paradox scenario using this effect.
So the experiment itself prevents the paradox it seems to create.
In essence, yes. The conditions required for the effect are incompatible with the conditions required for the causality violation.
So wrapping this up then, the Scharnhorst effect is real, theoretically at least. It shows the quantum vacuum isn't static. We can influence it, change its properties.
Exactly. It acts like a physical medium.
But despite predicting vital C1 in that specific setup, the ultimate speed limit for sending actual information, CE, remains safe. The effect is too small, unmeasurable without destroying it, and the setup itself prevents causal loops.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah.
It's less about breaking speed limits and more about understanding the vacuum as this dynamic, engineerable entity. Its properties, like energy density, like effective refractive index, aren't immutable constants of empty space. They depend on the state of the vacuum.
Which leaves us with a pretty profound thought, doesn't it? If fundamental constants, like the speed of light, are actually just effective properties arising from the structure of our current vacuum state, what happens if we learn to truly engineer that vacuum structure on a larger scale? Forget just speed. What other fundamental aspects of reality might turn out to be editable?